is officially here, live from the Public House at 3rd and King. This is Weekends in the Park with Marty Lori and Pecan Patrick Connor on KNBR 680.
Good morning, everybody. Hello. How are you? Boy, we got baseball today as we wrap up really the first half, as they like to say, of the season. Giants and Phillies. Giants go for a sweep of the Phillies. They need a win today. Our old friend Chad Billingsley on the hill, formerly of the Dodgers, goes for the Phillies today. And the rookie Chris Heston for the Giants as they try to go for the sweep. Patrick, good morning.
Great to see you, Marty. I was going to text you last night and get your thoughts on the Conor McGregor fight in Vegas, UFC.
I thought it was really just a cage match. I thought it really
was. A real kick in the pants.
A really kick in the pants. It's another Volvo, as I like to
yeah.
say.
Yeah. Hey, I tell you what. Last night, Buchanan did his job for the Phillies. That was shocking. And then here comes a three-hitter for the Giants. I mean, they used to call it Finley's Alley. Now you call it Duffy's Alley, right?
Well, I'll tell you, it is called Triple's Alley,
He's
and it really is.
He's been a lot of time out there.
Buchanan, Giants were 1-for-10 against him with runners in scoring position. They had a chance every inning to do damage, but finally got through in the sixth. Hey, we welcome in Henry Schulman, Hank Schulman of the Chronicle,
hey,
folks.
Henry, what's happening, brother?
It's Mirabelli Alley until I say it isn't.
Okay. Really, okay. It's incredible. You hit a line drive there. I don't care who you are. You're going for three. And then
Crawford poked one out there early in the game, too, right? Didn't he get it up
yes.
there?
Yeah, he got it through there.
Yeah, the center fielder for the Phillies, he didn't play that very well.
But Henry, is it a tough center field? A tough right field, center field to play?
Well, right field is tougher because in right field, you have so much ground to cover, and you have to decide where you're going to play. You have to decide whether you're going to guard the line or whether you're going to guard the alley, and usually that's an easy decision. I thought when the park first opened, Ellis Burks did a great job of sort of defining how to play right field out there. He learned early that it's silly to defend the line because the worst that can happen if it goes down the line is a double. The worst that can happen if it gets past you on the other side is a guy can get 5-6 bases if he's fast enough.
Yeah, really. Henry Schulman with us. Henry, you know, I always like to say, you know, we stand there in February, look at each other, and we're all on that ledge, rise behind the bullpens, where the eight bullpens are, and we're hearing the glove pop and all that. And I always say to myself, boy, I wonder where we're going to be July the 12th and what it's going to look like. And that's the story of a season. Every day it changes. But maybe for you, a perspective on this first half, what we thought back then, where we are now, and where they're going, because the second half really defines a season.
Well, we really haven't gotten anywhere since that day in February. I mean, they were 0-0 back then, which made them a 500 team, and they're going to finish the first half either two or three games above, or two or one game above 500, three or one, whatever. My math is not my strong suit. So they're essentially where they were back then. It was an interesting first half in that there were a lot of surprises. Like you just mentioned before we came on the air, leading the league in hitting. Although that doesn't translate to leading the league in runs. They've had many troubles over the first half getting guys home once they get them on. Last night's game was a microcosm of that until actually it was a pretty good microcosm of the whole first half, because in the first part of the game they were 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. A lot of the first half was like that. And then they couldn't stop getting hits with runners in scoring position, and then some of the first half was like that too. I think the pitching went just about as we thought it would once the season started with Kane and Peavy going on the DL. And the rally cry was, you know, stay around 500 until we get guys healthy. Well, that's exactly what they did.
All right. So, Pat, your thought. I'll ask you, Pat, maybe your biggest surprise of the first half. It could be a player. It could be just the general standings of the team, or maybe leading the league in hitting. Where do you go? And also on base percentage.
Well,
too.
In our pre-show meeting, Henry, I caught Marty in the bunker, and I said three guys come to mind, surprises that have kept the Giants afloat: Duffy, Heston, and Contos. And then three guys are three boogaboos that have hurt the Giants this year is Pagan's not been healthy, and he hasn't contributed like we expect from him when he's out there. And then, of course, Santiago Casilla has been a little bit down this year. And then the injuries. That's really hurt the Giants. But those three have kind of canceled each other out, the three good and the three bad.
I think the biggest surprise to me is that you guys have a pre-broadcast meeting.
It's in deep, too. We go deep.
It's about 8 a.m.
Because you would know it from the way the show goes. I think that if you're looking at surprises, the hitting, for one thing, just as many hits as they've gotten. You left out Aoki. I mean, Aoki is a huge surprise. This is a guy who they got for basically nothing. I mean, two years at $4 million apiece if they pick up the team option. Duffy and Heston go without saying in terms of that. And on the downside, you know, Romo and Casilla both incredibly bad numbers against left-handed pitching, and that is going to be a huge issue going forward, because there's only so much mixing and matching you can do, especially if you get into a long string of close games, and you've got to use your late relief every night. There's sometimes, you know, you can't have Javier Lopez pitch every night, and you're only going to get to spend him once on big left-handers. So that's something that they might have to address, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately. It wouldn't surprise me if the bullpen is something that they address. I don't know that they're going to go out and get Aroldis Chapman or Jonathan Papelbon, but that is not an issue that they have had with their closers in the past. I mean, Romo has never had great numbers against lefties, but when he was closing, he did a pretty good job neutralizing them, or at least if he put one of those guys on to get the other guys out. But right now, I will say that Casilla last night looked really good against the lefty. He faced one or two, and he looked really good. And I'm just wondering if maybe that little rest they gave him might have helped him with some of the pitches that he uses to get those guys out.
Well, an interesting time of year, isn't it, Pat? Because as you bring up and Henry brings up, what are they going to do? And at one point, I was adamant they got to get a starting pitcher. I'm not so adamant about that anymore because of all the numbers they have and people coming back. I don't know how they could fit one in, to tell you the truth.
Peavy's looked good in his two starts.
Well, and Kane as well. And we always said you got to see what they do in July to determine that. But, Henry, do you think that this is it? The starting staff will be comprised of what is here? Or can they actually go out and get some? And then what would you do with everybody else?
Well, I mean, that's a tough question. They keep telling us over and over that there's no room for another starter, but I'll believe it when July 31st passes and there's no other starter.
Okay.
I don't think it's their biggest need right now. I think their biggest need is bench depth. I think they need somebody who can hit a little bit, who can play some center field, and to give Pagan a break now and again. Right now, that would be Gregor Blanco. It's one of those strange things where it's pretty clear now that Angel Pagan is no longer the best defensive center fielder they have, especially with two bad knees, one of them worse than the other. But Bochy's reluctant to ask Pagan to work a corner. I don't know if that's because he hasn't worked corners in a long time, Pagan, or if it's just one of those ego things that he doesn't want to insult the guy. But if they could go out and get there were some reports that the Giants were at least talking about a guy like Cameron Maben. I mean, that could be a guy like that that they could go out and get. Maybe a guy off the bench who might have a little pop potential. I saw a rumor that the Giants were talking to the Marlins again for Michael Morse. I think that's more wishful thinking on the Marlins' part, that they could unload that contract that they signed Morse to. I just don't see him as a fit right now because he doesn't have a position. I don't think they want to have Mike Morse out there in left field. But, I mean, you know, who knows? One interesting thing I'll point out, since you were talking about where you go from here and where you are at the break, I was just doing some research, and I just the 1987 team that won the division, they were 44-44 at the All-Star break after 88 games, they went on to win 90. So they had a really good second half, and the one key thing was that they made that huge blockbuster deal with San Diego about eight days before the All-Star game, 9 days before the All-Star game.
Yeah.
They got Lefferts and Dravecki and Kevin Mitchell. And then they made two pitching trades at July 31st and in early August to get Don Robinson and Rick Rushel. So you look and say, hey, you know, you can do – they were three games out of first place. The Giants will be somewhere a little more out that you can come back and do it. But I just wonder if you can make all those deals like you used to. It's not the same. Those were baseball trades, and I don't know that you can do that anymore.
No, and you don't get major leaguers back. I mean, if you get a major leaguer, the other team doesn't get a major leaguer back, so you got to deplete your whole farm system. I was very much in favor of the new starting pitcher, and I was like you, Uribe, someone off the bench. And now I'm really into the bullpen. I think the bullpen's got to be strengthened because these starting pitchers, if they give you six, that's terrific.
Sure.
But you go a week in August where they don't give you six, it'll kill your bullpen. And you got to have depth in the bullpen, I think. So I don't know what they'll do, but I'm kind of inclined along your thinking here. Bench and bullpen, that's where I'm going.
Yeah, one of the things that you consider, if they were to go out and get a a Papelbon or a Aroldis Chapman, if that were possible. What that does is it sort of neutralizes the need to go out and get another starting pitcher because you're shortening the game from that end. And if you have a shutdown closer like that, then you you can use guys like Casilla and Romo more against right-handed pitching and sort of set things. I mean, don't forget, Affeldt is a big piece of this puzzle. Yeah. A healthy Affeldt is a big piece of this puzzle, too, because he can get both lefties and righties out. I just don't know if the Giants want to make that kind of commitment in prospects when they have a Strickland and an Osich. They're starting down on the farm, Michael Broadway, and the other lefty, Steve Okert, who sort of got passed. And Derek Law, you can't forget him coming off Tommy John surgery. They have all these hard throwers coming up, and Sabian likes to build closers rather than pay for closers. He did. I presume Evans is in the same boat, so I don't know if they would make that kind of deal. But you look at the Giants bench, and I would say that is overall right now, I'd say that's probably a bigger need than anything.
All right, very good. And the other part is just that we'll move on from this because it'll be great over the next couple of weeks. We'll be doing this every day. If you got a starting pitcher now and could keep him, they're going to need starting pitching next year. We know they're going out to do it. So if you could get a guy in who you felt comfortable signing, you're really killing two birds with one stone. You're getting the guy now, and plus you're getting him for next year so you don't have to go nuts in the free agent market.
Yeah, and I think at the beginning of the season, I was sort of led to believe that might be the way they would go. Sometime in around here, they would try to maybe go after a starting pitcher that they could control, do what they did with Pence, and what they like to do is that these potential, not only guys who are under control, but potential free agents, bring them in here, let them fall in love with San Francisco and Rigetti and Gardner and the team and Bochy and the surroundings and all that, and then it makes it easier to sign them later on in the
like
year.
Like Peavy.
The Cardinals have done that forever.
Yeah. Right.
That's the way they got Matt Holliday in there, and, you know, McGuire went over there as well.
But let me throw this out at you in another way. Okay, if Kane, this is the big if Kane shows that he's back to the Kane of old, now you have Bumgarner, Kane, Heston, and Tyler Beattie, who very well could be the number five starter next year. Now you don't necessarily have to go after maybe a Johnny Cueto or a Jordan Zimmerman or one of the other big free agents and spend that kind of ridiculous money where you know at the back end of that deal it's going to be dead money. And then you can focus on shorter-term deals for other needs around the diamond. It's one way they could go.
Yeah, big question, and Pat, we'll move forward from this. I want to ask both of you guys, who's the biggest challenge to the Giants in the second half? Which team is the biggest challenge to them getting in the playoffs? But just to finish up with Henry said, you're assuming Matt Cain is Matt Cain. And over two starts, it's been terrific. But I want to see another 16 starts from him before that happens. So, all right, I'll ask Pat
first. Well, I want to get with Henry real quick. And just because there are a lot of Lincecum fans out there, what do you see happening in the second half with Tim Lincecum, and where does he end up in 2016?
Well, I think he's going to end up in the bullpen. I think that Lincecum is the kind of guy who, if he weren't Tim Lincecum, he would be a candidate for being DFA'd. But they're not going to DFA Tim Lincecum. He's meant too much to the organization, and he could help. He could help down the stretch in a long relief role. If they could put him in there, and if he could somehow succeed in that, it frees Petit up to maybe work more in short relief later in the innings. I've been wrong before on Lincecum. I think this is his last year with the Giants.
Okay. All right. Well, I know that a lot of Giants fans would be bummed to see him go, but they may be more bummed to see him stick around and get booed every fifth day. So it may be best for both parties to split. Marty, what were you going to say about
biggest challenge to the Giants? Mets, Cubs, Dodgers.
Now, we're convinced that Pirates may overtake
Pirates,
the Central.
Whoever it is. What team do you say, that could be the biggest challenge the Giants getting
in? Chicago, for me. I think it's the Cubs.
Well, to me, I don't look at it that way. To me, it's the Dodgers, and it remains the Dodgers. You can't – the wild card standings will take care of themselves, you know. The Giant, you can look at the wild card standings now, and they say the Giants are, I don't know, 2.5 games out of the second. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything because the Giants have to start winning. If the Giants don't start winning, the wild card standings are going to be meaningless because you know two or three other teams will. to me, you still think about the division. You don't worry about the wild card. And the Dodgers have underperformed.
Yep.
They've been hit with a couple of injuries, too. I think the biggest is Hyunjin Ryu. I mean, that's a killer for them because now they have to go out and get another starter. And, you know, they have underperformed. You don't expect them to underperform for the rest of the year. You also expect them to go out and get a Cole Hamels or a Johnny Cueto because they have the juice to do it. To me, it's the Dodgers and will be the Dodgers until the Giants have no chance to win the division. And then you start looking at the wild card standings and say, okay, this is the team.
All right. Now, I'm with that. We'll see how the Dodger-Giant thing plays out. But as a fallback, I'd like to see the Cubs and Mets lose a lot of games just in case. And I worry about the Mets more than any team. That's the team.
But the Dodgers, they do look vulnerable. And you saw Puig again last night having a war with Gomez. And, I mean, you talk about two nutcases. These guys are incredibly talented. Yeah. Does Puig finish the year with the Dodgers?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Puig?
I don't know.
Thank you.
Come on.
Thank you,
really?
Henry.
Well, you know, if you look at some of the teams who have pitching, they might want major leaguer in return. Then you get rid of one problem, Puig, and you pick up another solution somewhere else.
Does his advantages, the benefits he brings to the team, do they totally outshine all the pains of the rear ends that he brings to that ball club? I'm not sure.
Absolutely. If Yasiel Puig gets traded by the Dodgers, I'll take you guys out to eat at the nicest restaurant.
How about Original Joe's?
How about Original Joe's? I'll take you out there.
You're on.
All right.
Marty will be there.
Really, that's shocking to me, but all right. Henry is on board with that.
Well, I know you got to go, but, I mean, last year, Yoenis Cespedes was traded for pitching. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, and Cespedes wasn't even that much of a problem. They just decided that they could get more value by trading him and getting a pitcher in return.
All right. Oh, boy, that would make a very interesting show around July 31st.
What if we came up five right to AT&T Park? Imagine that. That would be some fireworks.
Did you have breakfast today?
No, I didn't, actually.
All right. Very good. But great story. Great question. Yep. All right, Henry, thanks. I know you got to get into the clubhouse. Thanks for coming out, as always. You're on Periscope. You're a big star today.
You didn't get my express written permission.
Is that your good side? Get it. Make sure you get his good side, Ben. We want
to. As soon as I stand up and walk out away from here, you'll get my good side.
All right, let's hear it for Henry Schulman.
Yeah,
excellent.
Man. Hey,
excellent.
Enjoy the All-Star break, Henry.
Henry, thanks so much. Yeah. Very good. Very good stuff. That was great stuff.
That was fun.